that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? Got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there? Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Yeah, when in doubt, you actually bring out the old school scenario, and particularly if you have an editorial that mentions Stuart Boehm and Willie Madron. Which editorial are we referring to? Well, only the editorial into Fly Me to the Moon. You see, Rob, I'm so stunned by the father of the Norse gods, Odin, scoring for Birmingham City. I mean, I thought he was very young. You know, he did all that with Thor and other sort of actors. And I was delighted to actually see that ALB actually makes reference to the Norse mythology aspect of, indeed, teenage Odin, actually, unfortunately, putting Middlesbrough down into 20th position.
Yeah. Yes.
And it has to be said. It has to be said. By the way, welcome to your show, Rob, and of course, the Flying to the Moon, the podcast companion. And it's probably one of the strongest editorials I've seen you produce for quite some time, Rob.
Well,
I mean, I felt a lot of passion coming through this. You know, thank goodness for the international break. We car crashed into that break with a woeful, woeful performance and result at Birmingham.
Yeah.
So. When we spoke, we were happily all said, so, you know, even Jenny Finch, our writer in residence and so on, crime writer, was saying, well, it's Birmingham, you know, we've got to do something against Birmingham, etc. We were not expecting a 2-1 defeat.
No, well, obviously, first of all, we got turned over completely, didn't we, by Sheffield Wednesday at home.
I was going to mention that.
I know. Yes. And then, but then we'd bounced back a bit against Preston in midweek with a draw. That wasn't too bad, I didn't think, because Preston were they still are high flying, and on a very, very good run, and they were the top scorers in the league. We managed to stop them scoring, so that was good from the point of view. We've been leaking goals left, right, centre. Then against Birmingham also on a terrible run, and we just gifted them chance after chance, and our sort of vulnerability we've had all season for crosses was just sort of. Super underlined there, if you like. If it wasn't for Randolph's heroics on the goal line, we would have been about 4 down at half time, just like Sheffield Wednesday again. Mm. But then, ridiculously,
we get a goal.
We get a goal back. Ayala bundles it over the line. You've only got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Surely, you've somehow wrestled a point from a big defeat. And then we go and we give them one chance, Randolph's saves. We give them another chance. It just gets away, and then third chance in the back of the net.
So I suppose you can give a nod in the direction of Gary Monk for obviously getting the Birmingham game going.
And obviously,
or rather, not but the Sheffield Wednesday game, etc.
But you're right, because Gary Monk's success is it.
So we'll just have to work through that. There's a lot of sense that certainly in terms of the press that Jonathan Woodgate, of course, the manager, the boss, Woody, he's a bit angry, and I think he's right to be angry, because clearly we're in that sort of situation whereby, put it this way, if it was Watford as opposed to Borough, he would be on his way.
Yes, he would, absolutely, but I don't know how Watford have got away with it for so long. They're chopping
change
mentality.
They may not this season. I have a feeling they may not this season.
No, no.
Also mentioned in the editorial about Aidan Flint, of course. Not popular for his failure in front of the opposition goal, but he did actually protect Darren Randolph. And that's where, as we mentioned, Willie Madron and Stuart Boehm.
Gary Pallister.
Yeah, exactly. You need that sort of... And it's so unusual that Woodgate, who of course is or was a centre-half.
Yes.
You think you might sort of address that.
Man who was dominant in the box. Yeah, I suppose to be fair to him, he's had injuries to his fullbacks, and that's part of the thing, isn't it? That teams are getting behind us and crossing the ball, but he's also asking those fullbacks to push up, so that's leaving space as well. But he would have probably expected Danny Ayala to be dominating in the box, and of course, Dale Fry's come back from a long injury, and he doesn't look strong in that position yet. He doesn't look confident, and it's taken a little bit of time for them to bed in together. And I don't think the answer is Ryan Shotton at left back, and I don't think Ryan Shotton thinks that's the answer either. But also, you might have to ask Dyke Steele to defend first and foremost. I mean, he's playing him as a wing back, but he might have to tell him to do that.
Lots of questions, lots of things to talk about and discuss, as we'll do over the next 40 or so minutes, because we've also got the excitement of Discover Middlesbrough. Ooh. The festival that is happening, and it's worthwhile mentioning this was a good week for Paddy McNair,
that is a bright spot.
Worked through goals. That process, and indeed Darren Randolph also sort of managing to hold things together. On the other downer, not that we really cover this, but it's worthwhile mentioning, Craig Hignett is now available.
Yeah, that's what's going on at Hartlepool. Everything's going on at Hartlepool. Nothing good.
And nothing, exactly. Yeah. I think they need to be very, very careful. They don't continue with the slippage down the league because things are working through that. England clearly were performing, had two very good results overall in terms of, one very good result, and one which unfortunately was a surprise defeat in terms of the Czech Republic. See, I'm just jumping back there to the days of Don Revy, when of course he kind of failed to qualify for his first ever tournament actually in Euro 1974.
But we certainly bounced back against Bulgaria but obviously matters off the pitch dominated everything, but we did hammer them as well. Yeah. So
and allowing for that and the notion that clearly the racism which almost saw the match abandoned, because we actually went through the first protocol, the second protocol, we were into the third, almost into the third protocol. Yeah. That didn't actually happen. But it's pleasing to see Fans for Diversity is mentioned in terms of fans and communities together being stronger.
Yeah.
Factas, tell us about Factas, please, and what you were doing with Footy Factas at the Riverside Stadium.
It was a bit of a mystery, really. Got an invite to go to an evening which lasted about 3 hours, and then looked around me, and there was lots of different supporters, support from supporters groups and different and other just individual supporters. But then there was also staff from the Riverside, stewards and backroom staff. And then basically what we had was a talk with slides about extremism and racism, with some quite hard-hitting
A gentleman we've spoken of on the show beforehand, and maybe we should invite him to be on the show, either as a phone contributor or whatever. Yusuf, of course, was present there. And
he was mentioned. That's right.
Yeah, that whole notion of being abused—it isn't acceptable.
No, absolutely. And it was very interesting because this talk. It threw the ball back to the audience. As I say, it was a mixture of people from the football club and fans. And the thought was that you have like a complete cross section of people going into the Riverside Stadium. Mm-hmm. This is a sort of relevance from the Bulgaria thing. You cannot possibly say that is you can't separate that from society outside. People take their views into the stadium, they take their views out of the stadium. But can you use it as a positive buy? And what he meant, the guy that was addressing us said, that we should all do a pledge. So people had the chance to make a pledge that they were going to do something against extremism, against racism. And then some people came up to the front and they said, I'm going to do some sort of racism awareness at my workplace. Or somebody said, I'm going to try and make sure that when my granddaughter is grows up, that there's no racism around her. And and what's going to happen is the Footy Factors are going to go back and see if they can help facilitate these things, and also look to Middlesbrough Football Club to reward people for doing these things.
I mean, it's very pleasing to see Ashley Fletcher turning up. And again, somebody who one might say, if Ashley keeps scoring own goals at the rate that he actually does, he's going to get some flack, but it should not be racially based.
No, and he was making interesting points. You mentioned Yusuf, and Yusuf got abused online, on social media. And that was a point that Ashley Fletcher was trying to make about social media, that it's not only what happens in the stadium, it can be, it's almost as if the racism platform, other than international football, has shifted to social media, where it can be, seems to be almost accepted that people can barrack others. And he was looking at what can you do about that?
Also, returning to the Bulgaria-England game for a moment, it was really quite shocking and disappointing that you saw the what could only be described as a kind of mini army of supporters clad in black with
neo-Nazis.
Exactly, which you think this is not acceptable, given, of course, the history behind the parties and various other sort of bits and pieces.
Yeah, absolutely, and as I say, that Footy Factors was talking about extremism and racism and the It is. It's not only in Europe, but we've seen right-wing extremists, of course, in this country, and we see a lot of right-wing extremists on social media, sadly. And it's just to make sure that nobody has any sort of no one tolerates the language, because the language there's a definite link between somebody saying something, and if it becomes accepted, then it gets closer to sort of violent action.
Human beings have had problems like that for years, but let's work our way through this and maintain the line. This is, as I say, the companion piece to the 599th Fly Me to the Moon. Means the 600th approaching.
It is.
Can come in all manner of wonderful ways. But it is West Bromwich Albion, the Owls. We do have Slaven Bilic, I believe, who is in charge of the baggies.
Yes.
The man, of course, who entertained us all, ITV, crawling on tables when he was in charge of West Ham United back in the day.
Absolutely, yes. He took them into their new stadium, didn't he?
Indeed so. And in a throwback to the 1970s, and one might say, the days of Kenny Burns, Archie Gammell, Cyril Regis, Brendan Batson and others, the two top sides currently in the Championship are indeed West Brom, 22 points, played 11, and Nottingham Forest, 22 points, played 11, separated by one goal, I think, on goal difference, or just a couple of goals from that point of view. Preston, of course, just a point behind and third place, as we said, doing well from that point of view, followed by Swansea. Leeds, they've blown it. Okay, they're gone, I think. You know, so they can't cope.
It's been a revolving door, though, hasn't it, at the top? There's been a lot of clubs in those top two places. Preston have probably been the most consistent so far. You might have picked out West Brom at the start of the season with Bilic, but you probably wouldn't have picked out, I wouldn't have picked out Nottingham Forest. Whether they stay the whole way through, I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, Darren Moore was, many people say, unfairly sacked. Let's face it, if Jonathan Woodgate had Darren Moore's kind of record at present, we'd say we're good on that. We're not writing Borough off this season. I know we're talking about a season of consolidation, etc. But this is one of those games wherein... Is it a gimme? Is it a free hit? Is it a free bat? Do we actually say, well, it's West Brom, you know, we're not necessarily looking for them? Or is it a real test to actually say, look, if we get a win here, we can start maybe building some traction. We can maybe actually start looking, you know, up because, one looks down. I mean, as I say, Stoke City, probably sort of heading away. The Cowleys might be beginning to work their magic with Huddersfield. I say might.
And we obviously will be coming on to the fact we're playing Huddersfield next week.
Exactly, exactly.
Maybe not a good time.
Precisely. And then, of course, you have Reading and Barnsley hunting around. I have a feeling Barnsley might well have actually gone. Obviously, we're only 11 games in.
Another club that have axed their manager very quickly indeed.
Yeah.
Perhaps,
yeah.
I think, far too quickly.
It's interesting, again. He was German, of course. But was he German? Yes,
he was.
And again, you could argue that if Norwich had followed suits, they wouldn't be sort of enjoying their particular Premiership campaign at present.
No, they made a really slow start to their promotion campaign.
Yeah.
Not quite as slow as Barnsley, but even so, he had got them promoted.
Yeah. We're going to talk about West Bromwich Albion, the Baggies, and more, and, of course, the fabulous Discover Middlesbrough Festival. And, yes, we did talk about those Yorkshire Terriers, much beloved, I believe, by former Labour Prime Minister Harold Wilson back in the day.
That's true, yes.
And now, of course, it's Sir Patrick Stewart, who is, I suppose, the celebrity fan. You know, who would have thought, you know, from Harold Wilson to Jean-Luc Picard? Oh, well, it's life.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon. The podcast, not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or The Fragrance for Men.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 3 grams of zinc. Hang on. I've got a pen.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Time at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's time, actually, Bernie came back. Is he going to have another Christmas book, do you think?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Let's get in touch with him. We might invite him to the next one. It is one of those critical weeks. I know you might well say, as a football fan, there are always critical weeks, but West Bromwich Albion, obviously, tomorrow, if you listen to this on the 18th of October, the Friday, when it has dropped, to use the vernacular, as far as podcasts are actually concerned.
Yes.
And then who knows when our wonderful friends and colleagues at Red Army Radio will hopefully sort of bid it similar to our time, really, so on the day, etc. That's obviously the other aspect. But Westbrook, traditional 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? You know, weird after all sorts of things. And then on Wednesday, of course, a non-traditional day for Middlesbrough's midweek fixtures.
Yes.
They usually have Tuesdays, which used to confuse me back in the day.
Yeah, but it is away.
Yep. And, of course, it's Danny and Nicky Cowley.
Yeah.
Who, of course, much beloved of Lincoln City, who probably will survive the season, but I don't know. They're probably regretting the fact that they've moved on. I mean, they've got an interesting character in place there, but we'll just have to wait and see. Mr. Appleton, of course. Michael Appleton.
Oh, yes.
Who does his thing. But, yes, it's away to Huddersfield Town before a home game against Fulham. Now, is it too much to say 7 points out of nine would be really nice?
Well, it would. It would be really, really nice. It'd be, I wonder which way around.
Mm.
We certainly need to make sure we don't lose to West Brom. And having a good performance at home would very much lift the fans. Mm. You could say we had a good performance against Preston, but we didn't score, we didn't win. We could do with winning, obviously. We've not put together too many 3-pointers this season at all, have we? So, and Huddersfield, I think it's going to be much more difficult than it would have been a couple of weeks ago. They have started to pick up a bit, haven't they, with the Cowleys?
And not that I want to effectively sort of pour water on other bits and pieces, but the opening fixture in November is away to Derby County, followed the week after by being away to Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in a real sense, I don't like to say this is a season-defining run of five games. But maybe it is a season-defining run of five games.
Yeah,
insofar as if you get really into the traction move through, we could be looking mid-November, you know, by the time we have the next international break, at being all set and ready for, you know, a promotional campaign or mid-table mediocrity or the relegation.
Yeah, it's all about putting runs together in this division, and then you get forward momentum, or you get into a slide, don't you?
You get slippage.
Yes.
That's never good.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting we're at that point yet, but they're very difficult games coming up. I suppose the one thing you can say, the one positive is that maybe two of the biggest games we've played so far this season have been Bristol City away, who were on a real roll. Mm-hmm. We went there and we drew, and we could have won it. And then the home game, as we've mentioned a few times, Preston, we were the more likely team to win that game. Yeah. So we've got to take some sort of confidence about that we seem to enjoy. It maybe brings the best out of us playing against top opposition, but we're going to have to be disciplined and we're going to have to
not concede stupid
goals.
Yeah, precisely. let's not talk about Odin Bailey, but it's just... However, let us move on to the Football Foundation, which we talked about at length. Football Club Foundation, partnered up with Amnesty International to launch Football Welcomes Community Project.
Yeah.
Johnny Howson involved with this one, as you were.
Yes, he went down to the Hurlingshaw Centre at Eston. I think last time we talked about them setting up a satellite operation in Loftus in East Cleveland, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And this is a football welcome that, as you said, with Amnesty International, and this is looking at refugee and asylum seekers. The form that they come and they've obviously got problems in so many ways, and this brings them together. Once a week, they do football training, and they play as a football team. And there's actually a women's team as well as a men's team. I might not have mentioned that in this piece. And I met a young lad called Shagan, who's only 20.
But wants to be the next Sir Alex Ferguson.
He wants to be the next Sir Alex Ferguson, and he's a great lad. He's had to escape from Iran. He's really buckled down. He's working really hard, and he's going through his badges, and he's got himself his plan, isn't he? 10 years' time, he'll be assistant manager at Middlesbrough, and then 15, he's either going to be the next Alex Ferguson, or he's going to be managing there. But he says in this piece that you've got to aim high, and if you aim high, then it might help you win your local league or whatever.
Well, as long as he doesn't go down the Phil Neville line of wanting to emulate Gareth Southgate by simply having a waistcoat, because I think, Phil, it's time you left the waistcoat to one side. I know you finally got a result against Portugal just about after the goalie threw the goal ball in the back of the net. But, of course, Brazil against
at the Riverside,
we must mention that.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the experience?
I did. It was really good. So that was the biggest crowd that England had ever had at home, and it was nearly 30,000, and it was a great atmosphere. Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it, to get that many?
And historically, of course, one might sort of look back to the days of Marie Wieczorek and the early sort of roots
absolutely.
Of the game here.
But, yeah,
very much as far as women's football was concerned.
Yeah,
the repackaging, the redevelopment of women's game.
Yeah, and that was a great thing about another great thing about watching it, that there were so many players that were out there. They're like household names. They're maybe, you know, as well known as the England men's team. And that's Manchester, never been the case.
Good Manchester City women players, you know, Steph Houghton, etc. Ellen White, obviously still injured, so she wasn't around from that point of view, but you have some good souls there.
But so many of them are actually five or six from the Northeast originally, you know, so that, and there was a lot of local support for those players.
I suppose we should be looking, I mean, I know a few years ago, back in the last century, there was a series with Sherry Lungi called The Manageress,
where she
said it was never going to happen. But I think, you know, we surely must be getting to the stage where, as obviously a lot of women football teams have male managers, then maybe we're not too far away. And obviously there are coaches and things that are actually there. We know, obviously, Mourinho's challenges with the medical team at Chelsea at one stage. But I think in terms of, you know, actually getting part of the whole thing, who knows?
No, I think so. And obviously the one good step is that we've got women pundits for the men's game.
Yep.
And they're really The bring a different
personally,
sort of
viewpoint, I think Sue Smith should actually be sort of, you should give way. I think she's the sort of the faux sort of flirting between Sue Smith and Jonathan Pierce. I just think enough already. You know, it's just a minor thing. Really. Stop. Not as bad as Joey Barton, but still, that's another line entirely.
Totally another line.
Exactly. Let's move on to Discover Middlesbrough, yes. The festival that we're right in the middle of, because. Yes. If, as I say, you are catching this on the Friday, you still have the opportunity this evening to go and check out Folk Lines with music from Reg Powler. No, Peg Powler.
Peg Powler.
You see, gender non-specific there. Obviously changing over.
Peg Powler comes out of the river. It's a legend of the River Tees, Peg Powler. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of stuff tonight at Folk Lines. Bob Beegree doing his Civil Insolencies, which is to do poetry to do with the Battle of Gisborough, mm-hmm. which many people might not be aware of. And, a lot of music and spoken word. And then, or you could go over to East Lodge, Albert Park, which is opposite the Porthole Cafe, the other side of Albert Park from us, Alex. That's where the Sea Scouts are based these days. And the chair of the Sea Scouts, Ian Stubbs, is going to give a talk about, well, it's quite amazing. But did you know there was over a dozen local men served in the Battle of Trafalgar?
Mm. Yeah.
So he's going to talk about those. He's done some research into where they came from.
Which, curiously, of course, was even before Middlesbrough really existed.
Yes.
Because we were just literally, we'd be Linthorpe Farm at that sort of particular time in terms of the system.
Yeah, we're talking 1805, yeah. So we're only talking 25 years before.
Yeah. But, you know, 25 years to some people, it's a lifetime.
Well, that's true.
If you fancy doing a real cultural thing and checking out Borough at the Riverside tomorrow, if you've got your tickets for that, you could also check out the courtroom at Middlesbrough Town Hall for putting women on a pedestal. We've been talking about women's football, so
Martin
why not
Began.
Actually address this whole thing. Ellen Wilkinson obviously gets a name check from this point of view with, as you said, that time-travelling Martin Pegram exploring the lives of more than 100 women in 1 hour. That's 60 minutes.
He likes the challenge.
That's 3,600 seconds, and 100, you're looking at about 360 seconds per person.
I reckon he might have an opera singer from South Bank.
Uh-huh.
These are guesses, yeah. And he might have the woman that is possibly. We're doing this from James Cook Hospital. He might talk about the woman that possibly started the modern hospital movement, and it was in Middlesbrough.
There we are. The world's first passenger railway and its oldest bridge runs parallel with that, so you couldn't simultaneously.
Do you know where it is? Do you know where the oldest working railway bridge still is?
Would that be Skern Bridge?
Yeah, you're right.
Had a guess there. Looking,
yes.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm looking at the actual script in front of us. They have a script, you scream? Yes, we do, actually, after a fashion. No, I don't. Where it is.
You don't know where it is?
No,
do you not?
No. I probably do, but yes.
Right. Do you remember, going back only about 3 or 4 years ago, the back of the £5 note.
Right.
There was locomotion number one going across a bridge.
Of course.
On the back of the
the Skern Bridge.
And that was the Skern Bridge, and it's in the middle of Darlington, and it's still there. It's the sort of the most significant bit of architecture left from the first railway.
As we said on previous podcasts, the first time that Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, and Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, and Discover Middlesbrough, perhaps more importantly, actually goes out of Middlesbrough.
Yes, that is right. Yeah. Absolutely, because we've also got some tours around the globe in Stockton, hard hat tours, because it's still being, and that's on Thursday the 24th at 1 p.m. And we've got tours around the Hippodrome in Darlington, and also close to here again, a park-to-park walk going from Stewart Park to Almesbury Hall.
Fantastic. That's, of course, ties in with the 150th anniversary talk and walk on Tuesday, the 22nd of October, where you go from Linthorpe Cemetery and have a little wander around the Linthorpe Cemetery.
Yes.
Bring your own vampire, perhaps.
Yeah.
Stuff different like that. Some great stuff happening, as we knew would be the case with respect to... Is this the fourth Discover Middlesbrough Festival? I think we must be getting
more than that, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been going for about a decade, I reckon.
There you go, Will.
Yeah.
From our point of view. And you can, of course, go to the website for Discover Middlesbrough.
It's on the Facebook page,
etc. It's worth walking through that.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy a whole range of things there, running up until the 5th of November.
That's right.
A little bit of sort of excitement there to actually tide us through the autumnal season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Let's get back to the football very briefly as we sort of continue with this. West Bromwich Albion, they have, as they move their way up there, Slaven Bilic, is he a great coach? Is he a genius? Whatever happens, he's certainly building on some good material.
And building on some parachute payments as well, let's not forget.
Then Huddersfield in the same position.
Yes, they are. So, and I'm sure that's what the Cowley brothers, I'm sure that influenced them in going there.
And Stoke City, well, you know, who knows? But
It's going to take more than parachute payments.
I would have thought so. But owners are Chinese. There's an interesting development in terms of where they're coming through from this. I have a feeling it's probably going to be, it might be a one-all draw, it might be, although I think West Brom are going to be a difficult task to overcome. Although there have been some classic games between Bury and West Brom over the years, I think over the, if memory serves.
We go back to some significant defeats as well, unfortunately, under Southgate, so let's not revisit that.
I'm also thinking about the most expensive player at the time for a short while, £500,000 for David Mills.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
Was the interesting sort of line
at West Brom. Didn't really do it at West Brom.
Well, likewise, Gary Owen and Peter Barnes also kind of. This was a time when they were also sort of buying people in all sorts of ways, but they never quite had that sort of.
And if you mention 500,000, there's one guy that's been watching Borough since David Mills' time, and it was a few weeks ago, it was a 500th league game at the Riverside, and a guy called Alan Gregory got in touch with me and said, "Hey, I've been to all 500, and actually, I haven't missed a match at home at Essen Park or Riverside since 1983. So I've done a little piece about him, an interview, and asking him some of his memories through that time. So yeah, he's not missed Borough home game since 1983, but he goes back to way back before that, and he certainly remembers David Mills.
I would hope so. We haven't had some poetry for some quite considerable period of time. We have got Jimmy Flynn, who has produced this Ode to the Riverside Stadium. Yeah. What say you, Rob? Shall we actually do this sort of two lines at a time and work our way through this in our usual sort of way?
Yeah.
Okay. The Riverside Stadium standing proud, imperiously awaiting the matchday crowd.
Magnificent soccer landmark on Middlehaven Dock, marking time on the historic three-faced clock.
Relative newcomer to the Teesside scene, yet already host to many magical games it has been.
Unforgettably glorious European nights when Borough scaled previously unimaginable soccer heights.
When the stadium assumed a personality of its own and became an electrically charged magic zone.
On dark winter match nights, an awesome sight, visible from miles around, bathed in a pool of brilliant light.
Domestic success has also become the norm as the stadium heralded for Borough a golden vein of winning form.
A soccer magnet attracting top international players to Borough's door, spawning a brand of football never witnessed before.
Bringing a carnival atmosphere to the banks of the Tees, dispatching visiting teams with consummate ease.
A deferential nod afforded to Borough's historic past. Highly visible reminders wherever the eye is cast.
Wilf Mannion and George Hardwick, former greats, majestic guardians of the Ayresome Gates.
The Golden Boy and Captain Fantastic in bronze cast. Sculptured soccer giants casting shadows vast.
The memorial brick road adding an air of poignancy, a tribute to deceased supporters who no more games will see.
Remembered there in messages on tablets of stone, twixt statues, gates and supporters' zone.
The Riverside Stadium standing proud, imperiously awaiting the matchday crowd. Now, even with phones coming through, I think that was quite good, actually. I juggle that. Obviously, I rate these sorts of things. What's going on here?
That was Jimmy Flynn, the poet, ringing in.
What's it all about? And almost finally, let's give a mention for the creative genius of Phil Meadows, who has actually got an exhibition taking place on Redcar Seafront over the next month.
At Palace Arts. I'm definitely going to go down.
Yep, sounds good.
He's got some beautiful paintings of Ayresome, really, and the setting and the in streets around that we're both familiar with.
Yeah. It's as if he's transporting you back. You could almost smell the mixture of pipe tobacco, Bovril and stale Holgate pies.
Yeah.
So it goes. The next edition, of course, of the paperwork of Flying to the Moon will be versus Hull City, by which time we might be, I don't know, heading up the league or whatever.
At all.
Exactly. But how can people subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine?
Good point. They can write to me at Flying to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP. I've just noticed I was spelled Middlesbrough wrong. That's appalling, isn't it? In the fanzine. Or email at robshrug@gmail.com. Go to the website, which is fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, and it's you just pay your check to fly me to the moon.
Rob, I think actually Mindlessbro is another word way forward. I mean, let's face it, there are sufficient numbers of people who can't actually manage Brough borough in there in any way, shape, or so Mindlessbro, I think you might be setting a trend here that can open up a whole range of things here. It's an old change your name, change your luck. That's basically been it for the podcast companion, JC599, versus West Bromwich Albion. Fingers crossed all will be well with respect to that. I didn't even mention the fact that you've actually got an image of Dominic coming in this particular magazine, but we'll leave that for another time.
Please leave it.
I think so. We'll also be talking about Stanistan and more in literally 7 days' time.
Yes.
Because the podcaster will be back in 7 days from now.
Terrific, some would say.
I think so. When we'll be looking ahead to Fulham, their visitation to the Riverside. And, of course, looking back over what will be, I'm sure, two cracking games against West Bromwich Albion and, of course, Huddersfield. So final things that we need to wrap up with, and I know it's critical, it's in broad routine. I'll actually finish off with your editorial comment from this particular edition. There are no easy solutions and no soft options available. We need to see Teesside Steel out there under Woodgate's tenure. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green has got nothing on me.
Did you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't complete that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or 7 Simple Seasons.
See what you did there? Yeah. Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.